When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Ken Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his orchestra and chorus, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and Bing's guests, the charming chanteuse Peggy Lee and Jerry Beaverlip Colonna. And here's Bing Crosby himself.
No other Bing Crosby program can make that statement. Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms. Here am I begging for only 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more of your charm. All week long I dreamed about our Saturday day. Don't you know that Sunday morning you can sleep late? Give me 5 minutes more, only 5 minutes more. Let me stay in your arms.
Give me 5 more, give me 5 more. And the truck at 6 minutes more.
Thank you, John Scott and group, for giving us a solid 5 minutes more.
Now, wait, isn't that misleading, Bing? Actually, we've got 5 minutes less.
Oh, this is getting too involved, Ken. Call me a cab.
No, wait, Bing. I only mean that while you were pleading so eloquently for 5 minutes more, Christmas was getting that much closer.
Oh, horrid thought.
Already, we've got 5 minutes less to buy that new Philco radio for Christmas.
Is that likely to cause static among the holiday shoppers? Hmm?
You don't understand, Bing. Don't you realize that this Christmas the Philco dealers have the biggest selection of new Philco radios and radio phonographs since before the war?
Yeah? Well, then why is Santa Claus breathing down your neck when you got so much to pick from?
Ah, that's just it, Bing.
Oh.
So you want to give something new and different for Christmas. Now, how are you going to choose between a brand new invention like Philco's new kind of radio phonograph, the 1201, and, say that marvelous Philco portable? They're both new and different. Now, doesn't every minute count when you're up against a tough decision like that?
All your cares are just foolish fancies. I'm given a few Philcos for Christmas myself, and I didn't find it so tough to pick them. Any one of them does the trick. For instance, you can take a little... Why, Professor Colonna! Colonna, what's the idea of playing Tommy Dorsey's theme song?
Well, if you think he can do any better, get him.
Bubbles in there sound like Chip Fields.
No, that's the little mustache getting in the way.
I thought there was a few bubbles.
Filter type tone.
Filtered tone, huh? Very interesting.
Besides, you know, I lost all my music in a wreck this morning.
What wreck?
The one I had at 9 o'clock this morning. I was hit by a truckload of transcriptions.
Yeah?
My head went right through the windshield.
Why, Colonna, that's awful.
Yes. Help! Doctor, iodine, bandages.
Wait, time, if you were hit at 9 o'clock this morning, why are you screaming for bandages now?
It was a transcribed accident. You know, and besides, my head went through the windshield earlier, but I'm bleeding at this more convenient time.
Well, that more convenient time's a pretty good idea there, Prof. A fella could do a radio show that way.
Confidentially, how's the program coming along?
Well, we're doing one every week, Jer. We're all in there punching.
Just between you and me, Crosby, you could use some more glamour on this show.
You mean besides me?
Besides you, they couldn't get up to the microphone. Hey, I've taken the liberty.
Edited your script.
Let me see.
I guess not.
I've taken the liberty of bringing along three of Hollywood's most beautiful and seductive stars. First, presenting Miss Sonia Henie. Ah, Sonia, what a figure eight you've got. And thank you very much. You look never looked lovelier. And now MGM's beautiful mermaid, Miss Esther Williams. Thank you, Esther. You never looked lovelier. And now Paramount's pulchritudinous package, Dorothy L'Amour. I see you've got on a brand new sarong, my dear. Take a bow. Ah, Dorothy, you never looked lovelier.
Those girls were grand, but now, if you don't mind, I'd like to introduce a real live doll. She does a great song, too. Lovely, vivacious, a willowy blonde.
You mean Skitch Henderson?
No, Colonna. No. I mean the gal whose special brand of vocalizing is making jukeboxes jump from Jackson Heights to Jasper Park. Miss Peggy Lee.
Thanks, Bing.
You got a song for us, Peg?
Well, I'd like to do Linger in My Arms a little longer, baby.
I'll stand close by in case you need a lingerer, hmm?
Linger in my arms a little longer, baby. Hold me tight. While my love for you is growing stronger, baby, 'tain't right to say goodnight, though it may be getting past your dream time, baby. Don't think twice. Just linger in my arms a little longer, baby. 'Cause it's so nice. It's so, so nice.
Peggy's husband, Dave Barber, on the guitar there. It was very sultry, Peggy, très romantique. Which brings us to Old Buttermilk Sky.
Buttermilk sky, I'm a-keepin' my eye peeled on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree. heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, oh, so easy, if I can only bank on you, old buttermilk sky. I'm a-telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a-brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above a hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try. Don't tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight, buttermilk sky? Buttermilk sky, don't tell me no lie. You can if you try. Oh, buttermilk sky.
Well, Crosby, what's next?
Well, along about here, Jerry, I plan to do what I think is a really beautiful old ballad that has had much hit parading lately. It's a very dreamy number, really.
Say, is there any truth in the current report that you fall asleep right in the middle of your slow numbers?
Well, I may doze a little, Jer, but I don't ever remember falling completely asleep.
Well, you know, your worries are over, Bing. I have just the thing to fix it. Listen. Bing? Alarm clock.
Well, I didn't think it was the bells of St. Mary's, no. Anyhow, at this point, I'd like to call upon a very capable and talented blonde.
Peggy Lee?
No, Skitch Henderson. Skitch and I are going to do If You Were the Only Girl in the World.
If I were the only girl in the world, I'd shave off my mustache. Meanwhile, I'll stand by with my alarm clock.
Oh, I think I'll stay awake, all right.
Yes, but what about the audience?
You got quite a thought there.
Well, go ahead, croon it.
I'll do my best.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy, nothing else would matter in the world today. We could go on loving in the same old way. A garden of Eden just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things to you. There would be such wonderful things to do.
Just a minute. I'm not asleep just because my eyes were closed. That's emotion.
That's emotion?
Yes.
I guess so.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only boy. Thank you. Garden of Eden, just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things to you. There would be such wonderful things to do if you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only
That was If You Were the Only Girl in the World, vocal by B. Crosby, S. Henderson at the Steinway, J. Colonna at the Big Ben.
This is no time for levity, Crosby. I'm in a very depressed mood.
What's wrong, Jerry?
Well, here it is, well nigh, and Mama hasn't taken me to see Santa Claus yet.
Well nigh.
Yes.
Well, we'll fix that right now. Peggy Lee, if you'll join me here at the middle mic, we'll try to bring Master Jerry a little Yuletide cheer. John Scott, would we have a little department store Santa Claus music, please?
Well, here we are. Isn't this a nice big store, Jerome?
Yes, Mother. Oh, look. I want that, Mama. Buy me that.
Buy you what?
That, right behind that sign that says 398.
Quiet, you bad boy. That's the sales girl.
I know, but 398, she's a bargain.
Oh, look, there's Santa Claus over there.
They get Von Zell to play this. He could play this one.
Gather around, kiddies, and tell Santa what you want for Christmas.
Evil looking old goat, isn't he?
Well, 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 hello there. Here's a fine, sturdy specimen. My, what nice muscles we have.
Take your mittens off my mother. It's darling red pants. Say, what are you going to give me for Christmas?
Well, let me see now. Do you want me to bring you a nice doll for Christmas?
Heck no. All I want is a fair shake from the dame I got now.
Say, how old are you, Dillinger?
Well, I don't know. I haven't shaved in quite a spell now.
Well, you'll have to excuse Jerome, Santa. He's sort of a half-wit.
Good. I can give him a sled with one runner.
Oh, you smell from reindeer.
That's no way to talk about Donner and Britson and Prancer and Dancer. They're our friends. How would you like to come for a nice ride in Santa's sleigh? We'll go high over the rooftops of the world. Up, up, up across the clouds and over the moon. How would you like that, little boy?
That's a matter of you crazy or something.
Now, come on, Jerome. Tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas.
I want an Eversharp pen that writes underwater.
But, Jerome, you won't be able to write for 3 years yet.
Here's the pen, sonny. Now jump in this tub of water. I'll hold you under till you learn.
Ah, I see something I like. I'll just put on these roller skates. There, now for a nice ride through the store. Whee!
Yee-hoo! Jerome, you're heading straight for the China
department. Why, look at him. He's going to land right in the middle of 1,000 cups and saucers.
Oh, Jerome, look out!
There he goes! Yee-hoo! Oh, what a crash this will be! Hey, Jerome, whatever happened? You smashed into that whole counter full of dishes and we only heard one cup break. How come?
I get enough noise on the Hope Show.
part of Jerry Colonna's mother in the preceding clam bake was played by Peggy Lee, who denies the allegation in every particular.
Let me ask you a question, Crosby. Hmm. Why did I ever leave Wyoming?
I don't know. Why did you leave Wyoming?
Fell right into my trap, old boy. Music.
I've been hoaxed.
Why, oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? Why, oh, why did I ever have to go? Why, oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming? 'Cause there is someone back there looking for me high and low and oh. Give me back my prairie and my saddle and wild game, where the hills are nice and curvy and the women are the same, where skies are always bluer and the cowboy songs are sad, where men are punching cattle and mothers punching dad.
Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
Why, oh, why did I ever have to go?
Why, oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
'Cause there is someone back there looking for me high
and low and high and low.
I tried my hand in Cody, wrangling coals for Bunkin' Beans. When the foreman said, let's bust a bronc, I shook right in my jeans. I climbed up on the saddle and I raked him with my spurs. The next thing I remember, they were picking out the burrs.
Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
Why, oh, why did I ever have to go?
Why, oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
'Cause there is someone back there looking for me
high and low and high and low.
I used to live in Cheyenne, that's a lovely place to see. You can ride along the rolling plains just east of Laramie. The sheriff almost caught me, and that's why I have to roam. He saw me working in a bank and taking samples home.
Oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
Why, oh, why did I ever have to go?
Why, oh, why did I ever leave Wyoming?
'Cause there's a sheriff back there looking for me
high and low and high.
It's Happy Hips Crosby and the Posse. Let's hit the trail.
Now, while the deputy sheriff from Jackson Hole corners Colonna and stands him on his head to shake some of the dinero out of his jeans, I'd like to have another word with Peggy Lee.
Right here, Bing.
Peggy, I heard one of your new tunes on a record the other day, one you wrote. I'd like to learn it.
Which tune is that, Bing?
I think it's called It's a Good Day.
Oh, yes. Well, why don't you run through it with me right now?
Sure beats Braxton by myself. You catch me if I slip, will you, Ma?
All right, hang on tight.
Here we go.
Yes, it's a good day for singing a song.
And it's a good day for moving along.
Yes, it's a good day. How could anything be wrong?
A good day from morning till night. And it's a good day for shining your shoes.
And it's a good day for losing the blues.
Everything to gain and nothing to lose.
A good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, good morning, sun. Rise and shine today.
Rise up,
you
rise.
Know you got to get going if you're going to make a showing. And you got the right of way.
'Cause it's a good day for paying your bills. And it's a good day for curing your ills.
So take a deep breath and throw away the pills.
'Cause it's a good day from morning till night.
Good morning, sun. Good morning, sun. Rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing. And you got the right of way.
'Cause it's a good day for curing your ills.
And it's a good day for paying your bills.
So take a deep breath and throw away the pills. 'Cause it's a good day from morning till night. It's a good day from morning till night. A good day from morning till night. A good day from morning till night.
Swell, Bing and Peggy Lee. And Peggy, do you mind if I latch onto a piece of that lyric about rise and shine today? You know you got to get going if you're going to make a showing.
Please, Kenneth, take off your sneakers. We know what's coming. We give you the right of way, Philco man. There you go.
Well, Bing, I hope the listeners will, too, because this sure is a good day to get going on picking out that Philco radio for Christmas. To help you get started, Philco suggests 5 different ways to make anybody's Christmas brighter and better. For instance, if you've got a teenage youngster on your list, you couldn't possibly miss with Philco's new 1201, the radio phonograph where you just put a record in the slot and it plays. Then there's that sensational Philco portable for the gal you'd like to travel with permanently, or the table model radio phonographs with the automatic record changer. And if you want to give the family a big moment, don't forget that the big sets are back this Christmas, those fine Philco console models you haven't been able to buy since before the war. Plus a whole flock of brand new table model radios for your sisters and your cousins and your aunts.
Are you still awake, folks?
I got news for you, Jerry. They're awake because they've been waiting for years for this moment when they can buy a new radio again and be sure it's a Philco. Famous for quality the world over.
Gershwin ballad gaining great popularity now. For you, for me, forevermore.
For you, for me, forevermore. It's bound to be forevermore. It's plain to see we found by finding each other the love we waited for. I'm yours, you're mine. And in our hearts, the happy ending stars. What a lovely world this world will be, with a world of love in store. For you, for me, forevermore.
And now, before I scamper to my Philco 1201 to tune in on Henry Morgan, I want to say it's been charming, really delightful. We'll be back again next week at the same time with a whole caboodle full of mirth, merriment, melody. Also, I'm expecting Jack Benny to drop in. Good night. Good night, all.
This program is produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter, his orchestra and chorus, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and Bing's guests, Jack Benny and Mary Livingston. And remember, this Christmas, give a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
From Hollywood, the Mel Blanc Show, brought to you each week by the Colgate Palmolive Peach Company, makers of Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle. Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you Mel Blanc at his own Fix-It Shop with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Joe Kearns, Hans Conry, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and Mel himself playing that delightful character, Zookie. Here he is, the star of our show, Mel Blanc. It's early morning in the Fix-It Shop, and like any other wide-awake businessman, Mel is getting a clear picture of what's going on in town. No, he isn't reading a paper. He doesn't have to, as long as Mr. Snoop, the gossipy postman, pays his daily visit.
Any mail for me, Mr. Snoop?
No, don't rush me, Mel. I'm having trouble with my mail bag again. All bursted out to the seams.
Well, okay. Let me have it. I'll fix it.
Thank you, Mel. Never saw such an interest in mail as I have this morning.
It's too bad Esquire only comes out once a month, huh?
I see Mr. Blodgett Liver is acting up again. Got a bill here for him from his doctor.
Hey, how can you tell so much about everybody from the mail?
Oh, tell most anything, Mel, just by looking at the envelope. Why, you know I followed the courtship of Widow Parker and her fella for 5 years. At first, all the letters was airmail, special delivery.
Couldn't wait to be together, huh?
Yeah. And then they started squabbling. Letters began coming just plain airmail, then regular mail. Yes, sir, and you just the day they called it quits, too. You know how?
Started writing postcards.
No. A letter come. 2 cents postage due.
Okay, Mr. Snoop, here's your bag.
Oh, thank you.
Now, how about my mail?
Oh, you got just a postcard this morning, Mel. Let me see what it said. A community chest drive announces the appearance of Betty Rhodes at the Municipal Auditorium. And, can't make out the small type here on the bottom. Left my glasses to hum.
Well, don't take it to heart, Mr. Snoop. I can read my own mail.
You know, today's mail is full of these here postcards. Got one here for your girl's kid brother, Tommy.
Oh, sure. Tommy's president of the Betty Rhodes fan club in town.
Yeah. I was talking to some of the kids. They want to hold a little party for Miss Rhodes. They can't find a place.
Say, wait a minute.
What's the matter, Mel?
Why don't I talk to Tommy and tell him they can get together with Miss Rhodes right here in the Fix-It Shop?
Oh, I don't know. You know, Miss Rhodes is a pretty big star. That's why the kids are so particular.
Oh, my girl Betty's always saying I ought to get some publicity for the Fix-It Shop. This is my big chance. I'll get the place all cleaned up for him.
Oh, still don't know.
Well, I'll tell Tommy I know Miss Rhodes, that we went to school together.
Did you?
Well, in a way. Of course, they were different schools. Oh, but you got to use a little imagination in this business.
Well, I wish you luck. Sure like that song Miss Rhodes sings in the jukebox in Thompson's Ice Cream Parlor. Rumors are flying, there's no denying.
Yeah, rumors are flying. Might be a good song for you, Mr. Snoop.
It might be if I wasn't one for mine and my own business. Well, so now. Rumors are flying. Goodbye, Mr. Snoop.
Hiya, Tommy.
Oh, say, Mel, is that true what you said on the phone? Yeah, I mean about knowing Betty Rhodes personally.
Well, I don't like to brag,
oh,
but...
Oh, gosh, my future brother-in-law is really solid, right on the beam. Hey, man, slip me some skin.
Huh?
Well, you dig me, don't you? I said, slip me some skin.
Where am I going to get some? I'm wearing all I got.
Oh, boy, are you booty.
Booty?
Oh, yeah, you know, Mellow Rooney.
Oh, that explains everything.
Now, you take Betty Rhodes. Oh, of course, I don't have to tell you, you being such an old friend.
Oh, of course.
Hey, you know what makes her such a nickel-snatcher at the jukeboxes?
Booty?
Right. She's a reet sweet with a mellow beat. Don't you agree?
Oh, but definitely. I think. But look, Tommy, how about my proposition?
Oh, it's a deal. Miss Rhodes will meet her fan club here in the Fix-It Shop this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Good boy, Tommy.
Oh, and I'll send our secretary, Ruthie Nelson, over with a phonograph. And she'll help you clean up the shop, too.
Fine.
Well, so long, Mel. Everything's gonna be just booty.
Sure. Booty. Why not? Miss Rhodes will come in. I'll say, hello, Benny. She'll have to say hello to me. We will know each other. It's simple.
Yeah, but if it's so simple, why am I so scared?
Now, is it true what everybody's saying, that you're a personal friend of Miss Rose?
Oh, that. Well, you see, Betty...
We've heard her on the jukebox so many times, and you never even told me.
Oh, I guess it just slipped my mind, honey.
Oh, I know. You were afraid I might be jealous. Now, weren't you?
Well...
Of course, that's it. But, darling, I don't mind at all. I think it's wonderful. Why, even Father was impressed when Tommy told him. You know what Daddy said?
No, but I can guess. He probably went...
That's right. But this time he meant it affectionately.
I don't know. How can you bite somebody's head off affectionately?
Well, tell me, Mel, what's Betty Rhodes like?
Well, honey, she's a girl.
You certainly don't miss a thing, do you?
Well, she's, booty.
What?
Yeah, she's a reet sweet with a mellow beat.
What?
And you can take my word for it, too.
Well, I don't know if I like you knowing her that well.
Oh, honey, I'm just doing this to get some publicity for the fix-it shop.
Well, anyway. Oh, yes, I almost forgot.
What's that?
Well, Daddy's coming over here, and he said that since you know Miss Rhodes so well, there's a big favor you can do for him.
Isn't he a little too old for autographs?
Oh, darling. No, it's something else. He was very secretive about it. He said if all this is true, he'll be your friend for life.
Gosh, that would be swell.
But he said if all this was a gag, he'd...
Yeah, I know. And he's strong enough to do it, too.
Of course, I told him it couldn't be a gag. That'd be silly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, darling, I'll see you this afternoon when Miss Rhodes gets here. I can hardly wait. Bye.
So long, honey. Gosh, how am I going to do any favor for Mr. Colby when I never even saw Miss Rhodes in my life? Well, I'm going through with it anyway. When she comes in, I'll just step up like an old friend, and I'll say, hello, Rhodesy. I know the exact words I'm going to use. Gosh, I wonder what word she's going to use. Oh, no, she couldn't. She's too much of a lady.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just fine. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate tooth powder.
A breath of trouble dims your chance of being someone's big romance. Do you think that this breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, could be hurting your romance? Let Colgate Tooth Powder help you. Just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing, and remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Well, Mel's decided to get some publicity for his fix-it shop, and so he told a little white lie about knowing Betty Rhodes personally. Mel's girlfriend is duly impressed, and even her father, Mr. Colby, is beginning to see Mel in a different light.
Hello, Mr. Colby. What was that, Mr. Colby? Yeah, it is kind of warm in here.
Mel, is it true what they're saying, Tommy, Betty, everybody, about you and Betty Rhodes being such good friends?
Well, sure, that's right.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was an old flame of yours, huh?
Oh, not exactly a flame. Just sort of a flicker.
Well, anyway, that's good. That's wonderful. There's something you can do for me, son.
Son? Gosh, Mr. Colby, you just called me son.
Well, now, Mel, don't I always call you son?
Yeah, but that's only the beginning. Son do this and son do that.
Yes, yes. Well, between you and me, Mel, between you and me, I am not just a manager of a supermarket. There's a side of me even you haven't seen.
Oh, you probably look the same on both sides. I mean...
Yes. Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a songwriter. Why, 20 years ago, for instance, I just missed the Wheel of Fortune.
You did?
Yeah. I wrote a song, but it flopped. Someone had written Who Threw the Overalls in Mrs. Murphy's Chowder.
Well, what was the name of your song?
Who Dunked the Pajamas in Mr. Colucci's Minestrone? Everybody steals my ideas, but now I have a new song, and nobody can steal this one.
Why not?
It hasn't got a title. Oh, Melvin, my son, you get Betty Rhodes to sing it, and I'll do anything I can for you.
But, Mr.
But if you mess it up, you know what that means.
Yeah. Gosh, it's getting warmer in here all the time.
Well, son, can I depend on you?
Sure, I'll tell Rhodesy.
Rhodesy? You must know her real well. That's great.
How does your song go?
Oh, two eyes of a blue, a heart that is so true.
Blue, true?
Yes, like it?
Well, it sounds like a great song for a hoot owl.
Huh?
Well, you know, it sounds a little familiar.
Of course it does. I just sang it to you.
Oh. Well, okay, Mr. Colby, I'll tell Rhodesy all about it.
Oh, fine. I'll be here to sing it for her myself. Two eyes of blue. Nephew, now I have heard everything.
Did you hear Mr. Colby?
Yes. And how can he yell like that with no one beating him?
Gosh, Uncle Rupert, I think I'm getting a little nervous.
Here. You better let your old uncle give you a little advice about the right approach when you meet a lady of the theater.
Oh, please, I'm in enough trouble.
For instance, when I used to wait at the stage door for Lillian Russell every night, I was the very epitome of courtliness and gallantry.
So you've told me.
Why, when that great lady came out of the theater, I'd meet her with a low bow. Then I'd guide her gently to her cabin. I tell you, the stage door Johnnies didn't have a chance when I was around.
That's because you were the doorman.
To be sure.
Gosh, Tommy said some girl named Ruthie Nelson was going to bring a phonograph and help me tidy up the shop. Where is she?
I wouldn't worry about Ruthie Nelson, nephew. You'd better worry about Betty Rhodes.
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. I am.
Da-da-dee-dum. Oh, pardon me, young man. Is this the right way to Mel Blanc's fix-it shop?
Why, sure, just around the corner. Hey, aren't you Betty Rhodes?
Why, yes, uh-huh.
Oh, gosh, Betty Rhodes. Oh, gosh, I don't know what to say. You know, I've seen your pictures, and Mel Blanc's fix-it shop is just around the corner, and your old pal Mel Blanc just can't wait to see you.
Old pal? I just want him to fix my phonograph.
Oh, well, I'll see you later, Miss Rhodes.
All right, thanks a lot, Sonny. Oh, pardon me. I brought this phonograph in and it's...
Oh, you must be Ruthie Nelson. Well, here's your broom. You can start sweeping out the place. Hey, where you been?
What?
Well, Tommy sent you over for the Betty Rhodes meeting, didn't he?
Oh, you must be the one Betty Rhodes' old pal.
Old pal? Oh, I'm the only one who ever called her Rhodesy.
Rhodesy?
Yep. She called me Melzy. Mm-hmm. We're practically lifelong friends. Well, look, kid, you better get busy with that broom, huh?
With a broom?
Yeah, and here's a rag. You can start dusting when you're through. Everything's got to be spick and span when she gets here. I got a big favor to ask her, Rhodesy.
Well, I'm sure you're going to get just what you're asking for, Melzy. Oh, my aching back.
What's the matter, Ruthie? Tired?
Yes, and I'm beginning to wonder if Betty Rhodes is worth all this trouble.
Oh, how can you say that? You, secretary of a fan club. Here, take all this trash in the back of the shop. Zuki will tell you what to do with it.
Zuki?
Yeah, he's my assistant.
Well, okay.
Well, everything's shaping up.
Well, I guess this must be the back of the shop.
Amy and my shad. If the people will say we're in love.
Are you Zuki?
Sure, I'm Z.
Well, look, Zuki, where do I put this trash, huh?
Trash? Oh, just put it in the ash. Put it in the incinerator. In. Sweep it under the rug.
Say, Zuki, where did Mel meet Miss Rhodes?
He's only making believe. So he can get on the right side of his girl's father.
Oh, I see.
Hey, you know, I'd like to be a singer, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I'm not bad. Listen. It will be one meatball. Chiquita banana. Pickle in the middle and the mustard on top. Pickle in the middle.
Oh, what's the matter, Zuki?
I think I'm getting a severe stomach ache.
Gosh, Mel, in half a day, the fix-it shop has become the talk of the town.
Yeah, honey, I guess my little publicity stunt's going over with a bang.
Tommy and the rest of the fan club should be here any minute.
Now, look, son. Yes, Mr. Colby?
When you talk about my song to Rosie, say it's beautiful, sensational, soul-stirring. You know, the two eyes of a blue, a heart that is true.
Please, Father, not again.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Oh, Tommy.
Oh, when's Miss Rose going to be here, Tommy?
Be here? She's been here for 2 hours.
What?
Well, sure, I showed her how to get here. And here's her phonograph.
Oh, but that's Ruthie Nelson's.
Oh, no, it isn't. Ruthie couldn't make it. That belongs to Betty Rose. You see? Here are her initials. B-I.
That's Ruthie. Somebody slapped me on the back.
Something wrong, Mel? Shall I get you a glass of water?
Yeah, and put some poison in it.
Mel, what's the matter?
Darling, what is it?
Hey, look, everybody, I might as well tell you. I don't know.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Oh, hello, Miss Rhodes.
Well, aren't you going to say hello, Melzy?
Melzy? Look, Miss Rhodes.
Oh, Melzy, call me Rhodesy.
Rhodesy? I must be off my nutsy.
Come on now, honey. Don't be so embarrassed. Melzy, you didn't embarrass so easily when we went to school together.
School? Huh? Sure. I remember the last time I said goodbye to you, Rosie. You cried like a baby.
I did.
Of course, you was only 2 years old.
And just think, in the meantime, you've become a big, aggressive businessman.
Remember me? Two eyes of blue, a heart that is true. You hear something, Miss Rhodes?
Yes, frightening, isn't it?
Miss Rhodes, I mean Rhodesy, my future father-in-law here, Mr. Colby, he's got a new song he wrote. He'd like you to sing it for him.
Oh, say, the kids will be here any minute. Let me put on your new Victor record. Rumors are flying.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Go right ahead, Tommy.
That you've got me sighing, but I'm in a crazy kind of a daze, a lazy sort of a haze. When I go walking, I hear people talking. They say our affair is not just a passing phase, and they whisper about the flowers you keep sending me by the dozen, and they wonder about the hours that you spend with me. It keeps them buzzing. Rumors are flying, and I'm not denying that people are sure I'm falling in love with you. Cause for a day, darling, all
dozen. And they wonder about the hours that you spend with me. It keeps them buzzing. Rumors are flying, and I'm not denying that people are sure I'm falling in love with you. Cause for a change, darling, all the rumors are true.
Wrote a song you wanted me to sing?
Oh, I've been robbed again.
Daddy, where are you going?
Toby, you're flying. There's no denial.
Mel Blanc will be back in just a minute.
You Colgate to powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate to powder.
You know, that little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, can jeopardize your job or ruin your romance. And the pity is, the victim of unpleasing breath seldom suspects the real reason for his unhappiness. So it's wise to be on your guard. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate Tooth Powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder.
Gosh, we had a lot of fun tonight. Thanks, Betty Rose, for dropping in.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Melzy. And goodbye, Zuki. Hello.
This is Bud Easton reminding you that Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath of sweet and teeth of sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Nell and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo Shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
The Mel Blanc Show was written by David Victor and Herb Little Jr. and was produced and directed by Joe Ryan. Ladies, it takes fat to make soap. Normally, in addition to our own huge supplies, America imports vast quantities of fats and oils. But there is famine abroad, and where famine stalks, there is no fat for export. Our only source of additional fats is your kitchen. So if you want more products like soap, nylons, and linoleum, help out by taking a used kitchen fat to your butcher. He'll pay you 4 cents a pound. Sell him a can this week for sure. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, the sportsman, our special guest, and starring Mel Blanc.
There's no business like show business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow.
Nowhere could you get that happy feeling
when you are stealing that extra bar.
There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low.
Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they hung a star. Let's go on with the show. Even with a turkey that you know will fold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
I just got back from a vaudeville show.
Let's go on with the show.
There's plenty of excitement today in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. Mel's running a big affair tonight in the local auditorium. Right now, he's being interviewed by Willie Murdoch, a reporter for the town newspaper.
Gee, Willie, it sure is nice of you to write a story about me.
Well, that's all right, Mel. Now, let me take some notes. Tell me something about yourself, Mel.
Oh, nothing ever happens to me.
Mm-hmm. Led a very interesting life. Then what happened to you, Mel?
Well, when I was 16, I went to work in a candy factory. I was in the chocolate-covered nougats department. I put in the nougs. You see, somebody poured the chocolate, I put in the nougs. Somebody poured the chocolate, I put in the nougs. Then I was promoted.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. Somebody else put in the nougs, and I poured the chocolate. Well, one year of that, and I developed a sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Sadie, and I almost married her.
You almost married her?
Yeah.
Had narrow escape from disaster. And then became a big executive in an oil company.
Hey, look, Willie, you're not taking down anything I say.
Mel, if I put the story in your way, who would buy the paper?
I would.
You would. Mel, who else is helping you on the fair?
Well, there's my helper, Zuki.
Zuki?
Yeah, he's at Mr. Colby's house right now trying to round up some refresh enemy, refresh enemy, refresh enemy, enemy.
Well, what do you want, Zuki?
Refresh enemy, refresh enemy, 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 a case of soda, 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 some ice. You got any chairs?
Oh, sit down, Zuki. I'll be glad to help.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Colby. Hey, you know, this is a big job for Mel.
Yes, and I'm afraid it's too big for him. After all, Mel is just a little potato, but he is a sweet boy.
Yeah, he's kind of like a little sweet potato.
Well, what do you suppose Mel would like, Zuki?
Can you bake a cake?
Not very well, Zuki.
Oh, it's easy. You see, you take some flour. You take a quarter of You take two eggs. You buy one in the bakery.
How would you like it if I brought some assorted pies?
I could go for that.
Oh, wait, here comes my daughter, Betty.
I could go for that. I mean, I like pies.
Hello, Zuki.
Hello.
Well, you're all spruced up today, aren't you, Zuki?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to look good tonight.
Zuki, I never noticed it before, but you're handsome.
Hey, you know, Betty, you have a nice... well, I love you. You got a very cute little... I love your eye. Oh, it's South America, don't take it away.
Betty, Mel sent Zuki over for some refreshments.
Oh, gosh, Father, I have a whole box full of stuff I prepared. I meant to tell you about it.
Oh, gee, Betty, you're sweet. No wonder Mel is so crazy about you.
Is he really, Zookie?
Oh, yeah. Mel is so crazy about you when he goes to sleep, he doesn't count sheep jumping over the fence. He counts you.
Oh, Zookie. You mean he counts me jumping over a fence?
Yeah. Last night he was counting, and all of a sudden he ran out for some bandages.
What was the matter?
He said you tripped. Well, thanks for everything. Oh, we wait till you see the entertainment tonight.
Entertainment?
Yeah. We got a special guest coming to help us out. But I mustn't tell you who. You see, I wrote a play especially for the
occasion.
Thanks.
Yeah. You wrote a play all by yourself?
Yeah, that's right, Betty.
Well, is it good?
Good? Oh, it's sensation. It's colossal. Wait till you hear it.
Now, here's the sportsman. Evening to Mel Blanc's little town. Perfect weather for the benefit, and everybody has turned out. Right now, Mel is milling through the crowd, greeting all his friends. Well, there he is now, talking to Mr. Cushing, the president of Mel's local lodge, the Ancient Order of Benevolent Zebras.
Hello, Mel. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Oh, greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
It's a wonderful party, Mel. Wonderful.
Oh, thank
you. I want you to meet my wife.
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Likewise, I'm sure.
Say, Mel, the refreshments are wonderful.
Good.
All except that chocolate layer cake. That's terrible.
Oh, but Mr. Cushing...
It's almost impossible nowadays to get cement, and a woman has to use it to fill a cake.
Oh, but Mr. Cushing...
You know, I pity the poor guy that has to stand for that cooking day in and day out.
Mr. Cushing...
Who baked it, anyway?
Your wife.
Well, I gotta be going now. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo.
Hello, Mel.
Ugga. Hello, Mr. Brown. I'm glad you're here. How are you feeling?
Oh, not so good. I can't sleep night.
Drinking too much coffee?
No, I can't sleep on account of milk.
Well, gee, if you can't sleep on account of milk, why do you drink it?
Oh, I don't drink it. I deliver it.
Well, nice to see you, Mr. Brown. Excuse me now. I've got to start the entertainment. Oh, give me a fanfare, Victor. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming here tonight. We're ready to start our show with Victor Miller and the Sportsmen playing and singing the hit songs from Annie, Get Your Gun.
Folks are dumb where we come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally. Folks like us could never fuss with schools and cooks and learning. Still we've gone from A to Z, doing what comes naturally.
You don't have to know how to read or write
when you're out with the honey in the pale moonlight.
You don't have to come from a great big town
not to go picking berries in an evening gown.
That comes naturally. My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his checks with X's, but they cash him just the same.
They're canceled.
Grandpa Dick was always sick, but never saw a doctor. He just died at 93, doing what comes naturally.
Say that falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful. So they say. And with the moon up above, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. They tell me, I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand. And the thing that's known as romance is wonderful. Wonderful in every way, so they say.
Mansion. Got no yacht. Still I'm happy with what I've got. I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Sunshine gives me a lovely day. Furthermore, a mess of moonlight gives me the Milky Way. I got the sun, I got the moon, I got the sun in the morning and the moon at night. Yeah, with the sun in the morning and the moon in the evening, I'm quite all right.
Thank you very much, boys. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a surprise for you. My assistant, Zuki, has written a special playlist for this occasion. It is his own amusing interpretation of the discovery of America in 1492 by Columbus. In this playlet, I am Columbus, and we have a very special guest who came here just to help us out in the play. So, here we go. Take it away, Victor.
It is the year 1492. Our hero Columbus and his weary men are approaching the shores of America. History is in the making.
Columbus, look. It's land. Land. Still land.
Pardon me, I thought you said ham. How much can you act? So it is, land.
Stand fast, men. We are approaching the shore.
Columbus, someone's coming over here. It looks like an Indian.
Yes. My. He looks ferocious. I'd better advance first and sound him out. Greetings, noble warrior.
How do you do?
Bonito. You are an Indian?
By the shores of Gichigunya. Well, I look like Mickey Rooney.
But I thought that Indians wore feathers.
You want an Indian or a chicken?
Indian, you speak English very well.
That is most correctical. You see, when I was born, I was very young.
How unique.
I was such an itchy-bitchy kiddie. Everybody came from miles around to look on my puss. Of course, the odds were against me, because nobody could tell what I was.
Well, what happened?
And would you believe it? Till this very day, nobody discovered that I'm an Indian. Anyway, let's not waste any time. I'm an Indian, and I got a messenger, and I'm an Indian messenger, and I'm bumming the script off. Letter for you, sir.
A letter, huh? Say, what's that papoose on your back?
He handles the postcard.
What's your name, Indian?
Me? Ugg.
And what's your name, little papoose?
Me, Ugg Junior.
Little beaver. Can you find us a place to rest?
Are you kidding? It's impossible to find a wigwam these days. Are you a veteran?
A veteran? What's that?
That's a man who's looking for a place to live.
Well, anyway, Indian, can you tell where north is?
Most of course. It's very simple. You see, we Indians have a system. First, you put your finger up like this. Like this. Then you wet the point like this. And as the wind is blowing from the east, you got to be careful you don't catch pneumonia. Because if you are catching pneumonia, you are going west, young man. And this means the north and the south will have nothing to do with you. Of course, this every Indian knows. You see what I mean?
Oh, sure, sure.
Now explain it to me.
Well, anyway, you brought me a letter. What does it say?
Stop stealing Indians' land. Yours very truly, Iroquois Real Estate Company.
Well, Indian, go back to your chief and tell him we are here to stay.
Okay. But I warn you, if you are still here at 9 o'clock, we will make big war. Remember, the battle begins at 9 sharp. If I'm not back, go by yourself.
Vespucho.
Yes, Columbo.
I'm afraid. This is going to throw a terrible fear into the men. They're all worried.
Worried? Tell them not to lose their heads.
That's what they're worried about.
Hey, there, Bullet.
Hey, wait a minute, Andy. You're not due back here until 9 o'clock.
I just came back to remind you we're on daylight saving time. Columbus, what time is it?
It's 9 o'clock. Blue in our glass, drip, drip.
Columbus, this is no time to joke. The engines are coming and the men are too afraid to fight.
Men, you can't let history down. The eyes of the world are upon us. In Spain, they're saying we're discoverers of a new nation. In England, they're saying we're men of iron. In France, they're calling us brave defenders of the world of tomorrow.
What do you hear from Brooklyn?
Stand back, everybody. It's the Indian.
Who's an Indian? I'm Jesse James.
You want to know something? You sound just like the Indian.
I feel like him, too.
Well, what do you want, Jesse James?
I came here to help you build a railroad.
Why are you so interested in building a railroad?
I got the hold-up concession.
Look out, the Indians are shooting.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
What's very funny?
There were no guns in 1492, were there?
Say, you're right. They used a bow and arrow.
That's better.
Up! They got me. They got me!
Gosh, one tip and it hit you in five places.
It's something new. An atomic arrow. Oh, I'm dying. Partner, I'm dying.
You're dying?
I'm dying. I'm going to join Cleopatra. I'm going to join Salome. I'm going to join Madame Pompadour.
But you're dying. What are you so happy about?
Silly boy.
She doesn't wear a hat.
She's always a frock.
She always sees a cinema, but never a show. My sugar is so refined. She got a very real high-class mind. She never buys a dress.
It's always a frock.
She always winds her timepiece up, but never her clock. She says tomato instead of tomato. She says potato instead of potato.
And you should see how she holds the cup of tea.
With just two fingers while she sticks out three.
So you see,
my sugar is so refined. She's one of them high-class kinds.
She never shares a kiss. She lets our lips unite.
And but all it seems like kissing, and each kiss is dynamite. I wonder what she thinks of each time I hold her tight. Oh, she's so refined, but she ain't in the blue book. My sugar is so refined. She's one of them high-class kinds. She acts just like her name is Mrs. Dandaloon.
And though I love my sugar and we'll be married soon,
I bet that she'll read Shakespeare the whole darn honeymoon. Oh, she's so refined, I said she's mighty, mighty refined.
Listen again next week for the Mel Blanc Show. With Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, the Sportsman, Victor Miller's orchestra, our special guest, and starring Mel Blanc. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.